Our reading will be taken from 1 Peter chapter number 2, excuse me, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say to your neighbor, "Neighbor, I was chosen, then called. Neighbor, I was chosen, then called." Amen. You may be seated. "I was chosen, then called." We have entitled our message, "I was chosen, then called." You know, let me put it to you like this. This past April, the NFL had their draft, right? And for those young men that were prospects of possibly being first round draft picks were all invited to where the draft was held. And as each team looked at their board on who they wanted for their team, they would choose someone. Once they chose that person, because all these kids, young men were there, but they were back in a room waiting. You know what they were waiting on? Receiving a call. So once the team chose them, they called them. And then they also send it into the NFL, and then the commissioner comes out and says, "Team ABC has selected player such and such." And everybody stands and claps. But the reason why these young men were there was through the evidence, Deacon Elwood, of what they did in college. How dominant they were, how fast they were, how successful they were. That made all the difference on them being chosen, then called. But you know the beauty about our God? There was no evidence that we was going to ever be right. The evidence was showing that we was toe up and hanging out in the dark. But God chose us, then called us. I'm going to give you a little bit more on that in a minute. But what Peter here has identified is that He wants us to recognize who we are, whose we are, and what we need to do with what we got. Now, when you look here at verse number one, it starts off with a word, and that word is rid. He says, rid yourselves, therefore, of what? Malice, all malice, all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. He identifies everything that deals with how we interact with one another. You know, if I'm not sincere in what I'm doing, then I don't care about you. If I don't like you, I'm going to sure enough dog you out through words. Are you seeing this? These are all the things that Peter is saying we have to rid ourselves. Because of the fact that now that you know that you are chosen and then called, there's some stuff all of us just need to get. Oh, somebody working with me. All right, Lord, I wanted to just deal with all these, but it's a whole lot, and there's a lot of ground we got to cover, and I don't want you looking at your watches. I want you to just listen. So what we're seeing here that's happening is that when we learn how to get rid of these things, he tells us in verse 2 and 3, y'all got to get this, and I want us to all get this. He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into what? If. Now, that's the next word is if. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Do you see that? If you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you have taken in this pure and spiritual milk and you are to grow from it, it only happens if you know that what you've tasted, that the Lord is good. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we're all here, I would think, because we've tasted the pure spiritual milk of God. And we are growing in our salvation. Now, that's the thing that we have to understand. What do you mean growing into salvation? When you first came to the Lord crying and thanking God for accepting, you know, him as your Lord and as your Savior, you ain't have nothing together. Well, all right, I didn't have nothing together. I'll put it on me. I ain't putting you out there. I ain't have it all together. I had to grow in my salvation. I had to grow in understanding that the Lord is the one that healed, delivered, and set me free. I had to grow in understanding that through his word that he loves me in spite of me. I had to grow in understanding in his word that I have been forgiven of my sins. And the only way I was able to get to that point and grow in my salvation is when I tasted and know that the Lord is. You see, my brothers and my sisters, you can't grow unless you want know that the Lord is. You see, we got some folk in church, I hope there ain't none in here, who have tasted and don't think that the Lord is. You see, you know, what we have to understand is that if we can't see the good in God, then things ain't going to change for us. You see, because God is good, and that he's good, and once I ingest his word as a newborn infant, I know that his word ain't going to do nothing but help me grow. Because don't you know, when all of us was born, none of us came out the womb eating steak, chicken, collard greens, candy yams, sweet potatoes. Oh, Lord, I'm making myself hungry. The last meal I had was yesterday at around 11:30. That's the last meal I had. So, but what is happening here is that when we were born, our bodies were still developing. And the only thing that we could ingest and break down was milk. Right? And then as through drinking the milk we grew. And then they started adding cereal to it. They first started digging booth using the rice cereal because it was light. They wanted to make sure, you know, it wasn't going to be some bad stuff. And then they added the oatmeal. And then all of a sudden you got a couple of teeth up front. And, oh, look at them, got teeth now. Then they started giving you some pureed vegetables. Right? Then when you got around 10 or 11 months old, it seemed like they wanted you to sleep. So they started giving you some of that broken down milk, meat and stuff. And then when you had a mouth full of teeth when you was a year old, they gave you everything. Because you was able to chew it on your own. But the thing is, you can't get to that point until you first understand that you're taking in the pure spiritual milk and that you know that it tastes good because it's from the Lord. So what Peter here is identifying for you and I is understanding that we got to learn how to relate to God and relate to one another. Because if you look at it, he first tells us to rid ourselves of some stuff. And everything that he tells us to rid ourselves are things that create division in folk. And once we're able to be relatable to one another, then we got to take in that pure milk, that spiritual milk of God, so that you and I can grow in our salvation and realize that nobody did this for us but God. You see, when you understand that it was nobody but the Lord that got you up off them drugs, you got something to shout about. When you know it was nobody but the Lord that blessed you and brought you through whatever you were dealing with, you can't help but give him all the glory, honor, and the praise. You remember how Johnny Walker, red, black, white, Hennessy, all that stuff, boy, it had you. Every time you woke up, you're like, I gotta get me a drink in. But through you coming to the Lord, he has brought you through this. He brought you through that. You remember how messed up and some of the stuff you used to do. But now the Lord has removed all that stuff from you. You know it's nothing because of his salvation. And that's when you came to realize just how good God is. That's why when some folk come to church and you see them shout, you don't know why they're shouting. But the reason why they're shouting is because they know it was nobody but God who brought them through this, brought them through that, moved them through this, moved them through that, and now that they're up in here, they know it's nobody but God who made a way out of no way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands just how good our God is? Come on, we got to keep going. Because now he tells us to do something. He says, come. Come to him who is a living stone. Though mortals rejected him, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. To be holy, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? If I gave you one brick and told you to build a house, yeah, you would do just that, wouldn't you? You laugh. Because, Brother Red, you can't build a house with just one brick. Now, what he here identifies is understanding that we serve a God who is alive. And since he lives, we are his living stones. And since we are his living stones, we all ought to be able to assemble together. You see what it says right here, right? And being assembled together to be built into a spiritual house. Do you see that? That means that we all got to come what? Because we're in this what? And who healed and delivered us? Nobody but the Lord. And he did it because he is our common denominator. And it is left up to us to come together. And each one of us is a brick. And as we come together, don't you know we can make a big brick house that is built to the glory and honor of God, to let folk know it's nobody but the Lord who has been good to us. Because he says it now is a spiritual house. That's what we are. When we assemble, it's a spiritual house. Don't you know this is just a building? There are churches, like I said before with you and shared, that I see up in Jersey that used to be churches, but they ain't churches no more. Some are restaurants. Some are little of this, some are little of that. So what makes this place a holy place are the spiritual bricks that you look and see around you. This is what makes this place what it is. And since we understand what it is, we have to understand that we are to be holy priests. We're the holy priesthood. So that when folk come in this house, they should feel the evidence of the presence of God. Knowing that God is leading this place. Knowing that God is blessing this place. Knowing that God is in charge in this place. And since we know God is in charge, you know what we're doing? We're making a spiritual sacrifice, which is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, what kind of sacrifice am I doing? Through my worship? Through my praise? Through how I walk? Through how I talk? Through how I treat folk? This is our sacrifice that we make unto God. And as we do that, we're not doing it to say, Lord, yeah, I know I set up a good one today. Didn't I know I did? Didn't I, Lord? We do it without even realizing how we are being blessed and how God is blessing us. When we are truly about our Father's business, we ain't sitting there trying to figure it all out. We're just doing what we do because I know who brought me this far. You see, when we sing to Him, we are thanking Him because I know the only reason why I can sing is because He blessed my vocal cords. Whatever we're serving Him because He's the only one that blessed us and gave us the ability to serve. I will make a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice unto the Lord, because where would I be if I didn't have Him? You see, my brothers and my sisters, that's why when we come up in God's house, we got to send up our worship. We got to send up our praise. And we end up caring about what's going on because God has been mighty good to us. And when I send it up, I know God's going to send down a blessing for me because I know He cares about me and I truly care about Him, because where would I be if I did not have the Lord? Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands that I am what I am only because God has blessed me, only because God made a way for me? Somebody ought to say thank you. But hold on, we got to get through this. You see, in verse 6, he says, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be what? Oh, I got to stop right there. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, ain't no shame in my game. Well, I will do more. But you know, I used to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Some of them folk around here know what I used to do. So because of that, I can't do too much. Because I'm ashamed of what I've done. Can I help you out? Can I really help you out? Do you really want to be helped out? It says in that verse, let me read it again. See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. You see that? If God ain't going to put us to shame,
that's it. Preach, Pastor.
Why are you putting yourself to shame?
That's it.
I don't care what anybody know about you. They don't know the half that God knows. And if God, knowing everything about you, inside and out, and God won't put you to shame, why are you beating yourself up and thinking you can't? Because of. We got to get over ourselves. We got to get past our discretion. You see, some folk are in church praising God, but they're still thinking about what they were. But don't you know that God sent Jesus for you not to think about what you were, but get you to see what you can become? You see, my brothers and my sisters, God wants some more folk who are in the process of becoming rather than in the process of remembering what they were. And the reason why the church gets stagnated is because you got too many folk thinking about the word rather than what I am becoming. When we can let go of the stuff that we were and become what God is calling us. I'm telling you, there is no limit on how far God will take us when we put our trust in Him. And if God ain't gonna put me to shame, I don't care how much dirt you know about my yesterday. Don't you know the blood of Jesus washed away all that dirt? I am not soiled anymore. I took off all the stuff that was weighing me down. And through the blood of Christ, He has made me squeaky clean. So I will not let you talk about my was. Because I know what I'm becoming. So you can whisper about it all you want. But I'm praising God in what I'm becoming. Do I got anybody who's willing to say I'm going to praise God no matter what? Because I'm becoming something. And I know if God won't put me to shame.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, let's go on. Let's go on. We're getting there. Look at verse 7. He says, to you then who believe, He's precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders reject has become a very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. Now I got to deal with that last part and push it back. Some folk might misinterpret this and feel that God purposely had folk to not receive. It's not on God. It's on people. Some folk are so stuck in yesterday, so stuck in how they want it, that even when God presents it to His word, a better way, they ain't hearing it. Because I'm so stuck on what I want. I'm so stuck on how I'm used to having it that I can't even appreciate when God is trying to show me there is a better way. And some folk will say, well, I don't want change. You don't want change? Look at a picture of yourself 20 years ago. And look at yourself now.
That's right.
Change is happening whether you want it to happen or not.
Right.
Some got bigger. Some got smaller. They all got a little grayer. Some of the hair just went all the way.
Preach, pastor.
Digging out what I ain't talking about. You don't do that to you. But are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Change is evident. Yes. And when God is showing you a change that you will benefit from and you will glorify Him in embracing, if you don't, that's why you keep stumbling. That's why you keep falling. That's why you can't see the good, because of the fact that when you tasted it, it didn't taste the way you wanted it to taste. So you didn't receive that the Lord is good, but you still sit up here like, yeah, I'm here. But don't nothing ever taste good. And you know how we know it don't taste good? Because they ain't never got nothing good to say about anything or anybody.
Preach, pastor. Preach.
I'm just telling you the reality of what happens.
Yes.
God wants us to get better and be better. God doesn't want us to see Jesus as a stumbling block. He wants us to see Him as a precious stone. A stone which we build on. A stone which makes a way out of no way. A stone that is able to knock down any wall. A stone that will continue to allow us to stand when the storms are coming and when the waters are rising. Nothing can move us because that stone is precious. And since that stone is precious, I know what? I'm going to stay right on that stone. Because I know whatever is built upon that stone, I don't care how much the ground shakes. I don't care how much water it floods. I don't care how hard the wind blows. I don't care how much rain come down. I don't care if lightning starts striking. Don't you know what you build on the rock? It ain't going nowhere, because no weapon formed against yourself prosper. You see, my brothers and my sisters, if you don't start right, it can't be right. But if you start right with the Lord, I want you to know He will. will see you through thick and through thin. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands that when I stand upon the rock, I want you to know that I know I can make it because my God is good. But here we go. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, check out these credentials. Look at verse number 9. It says, but. Yeah, I know that word, but. That's one of my favorite conjunctions. That means we're not going the same direction. We're getting ready to do what, y'all? Turn the corner. And now, when he turns the corner, he said, Peter saying, let me tell you who you are. You are a chosen race. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God's own people. Do you see it? You're chosen. We ain't choose God. God. You're not here because you're all that. Bag of chips. Two sodas. You are here because God. And you know the beauty about how God chose us. You know, Deacon Booth, when he called you, he ain't called Deacon Booth. He called Rose.
That's right.
Brother Ray, when he called you, he said Stephen. Deacon George Davis, he called you, he said George. Dr. Aldridge, when he called you, he said Patricia. You know why God has to call us by name? You ever been somewhere and you with a group of people and you hear somebody say, hey, what happens? Because you're trying to figure out who they talk.
That's right.
You see, God don't just say, hey. Brother Doggett, he says, Chester. Once God chooses you, he calls you by your
name.
Because he doesn't want none of us to get it.
Twisted.
He wants you to know he has identified you. And he's calling you. But before he's letting you know, you're chosen. And since you're chosen, you're part of a royal priesthood. A priesthood that allows you to come into the inner courts with God. Allows you to come into the presence of God and worship him and thank him. Allow you to know that when the Father sees you, he don't see you. He sees you're covered in the blood of his Son. And when he sees that you're covered, you are welcome in into the holies of holies. Because of the fact that you recognize that you've already given God a spiritual sacrifice of praise. You understand you are where you are because you've identified there's one bigger than you. There's one who leads you. There's one who's guiding you. There's one that woke you up this morning. There's one that provides for you. There's one that sustains you. There's one that maintains you. And his name is Jesus. And once you know all that, you got to know you're part of a royal priesthood. Don't y'all know we are a holy nation? Holy nation, when you look at that word holy, it means that we're different. God made us different when he chose us, then called us. Which means is that we ought not to walk the same, talk the same, act the same. We got to rid ourselves of some stuff. You see how verse 1 coming back here? He wants us to understand, since you are a holy nation, guess what? You need to act like you're holy. You see, the one thing that ought not to be happening up in God's house, there ought not to be no backbiting. There ought not to be no stabbing in the back. There ought not to be no shysting in God's house, because we're all in this. Because we're all part of the same royal priesthood. We're all part of a holy nation. And we are led by the one who paid the ultimate price for us. He did phase 1. He did phase 2. And phase 3 is left up to. Now, if you don't know what those are, get the CD from last week and you'll understand what I'm talking about. But what we're seeing We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We're God's own people. We're God's people. We ought to act like we're God's people. Not walk around like we're snooty. We walk around understanding I am who I am because God has blessed me. And God has blessed me because I'm now one of his investments. And now that I'm God's investment, what am I doing to glorify him in how I live my life? He says, this is what you, why? We are all these things. Look at why he says in the rest of the verse, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of into his. So that is telling you that God is letting us know that when he called us, Reverend Flippin, there was no evidence in our past that substantiate why God would call us. Because our past would tell us that we ain't going nowhere. Because we were hanging out in the darkness. And when you're in darkness, how well can you see? While you're in darkness, wherever you're going, you're tripping and you're falling because you don't know where you're going. And even though you try to touch stuff, you find yourself running into stuff. You find yourself bumping into stuff. You find yourself mad at everything around you because every time you bump into something, you didn't know it was there. So you have so much anger in you, so much frustration in you that you start attacking everybody. Don't you know that God brought us out of into his marvelous light. And we got to proclaim it. We got to let folk know that it's nobody but God who brought us this far. When folk look at you and say, man, you sure enough have changed. And all you do is say, thank God. Because where would I be if it had not been for the Lord? You ain't get to where you are because you're all that. You are where you are because God has blessed you. God has kept you. God is making a way for you. So I'm going to proclaim it wherever I go. If it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Do I got anybody who knows that? Now, he brought us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And we're bringing it home now. Check out what he says in verse number 10. Once you were not a people. But, there go my word again. Now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy. But, now you have received mercy. There was a time you was doing everything all by yourself. But now that you have the Lord in your life, you're now one of his spiritual bricks that he is utilizing to assemble. To build up this edifice. And when we understand that we are no longer on the outside, but we're on the inside, it is our responsibility to reach out to folk who are out there in the darkness and bring them to the light. God doesn't want anybody left in darkness, because if he wanted us left in darkness, Jesus never would have come. He came because he was giving us an opportunity to make the change in our lives. And now that we are part of God's people, we do not walk around just patting ourselves on the back. We want to do and be about our Father's business, because there was a time when we look at the stuff that goes on in our world, you wonder, where is the mercy of God? When folk are in darkness, they don't understand mercy. When folk are in darkness, they don't act like mercy exists. But now that we've come to the marvelous light, we've come to the realization there's some stuff that should have took us out. Right. There's some That's stuff right. that should have put us down. There's some stuff that should have left us right where we were. But if it's because of God's grace and mercy that we are where we are, you see, that's how come we can't ever come in God's house and ever be quiet. You might call me loud. I don't care if you call me loud. I know God's grace and mercy. I know what he's done for me. I know how he's kept me. I know how he fixed me. I know how he's healed me. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who know it's nothing but God's grace and
mercy? Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.